And now chapter 18, Lord Krishna's description of Varnashram Dharma. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "One who desires to adopt the third order of life, Vanaprastha, should enter the forest with a peaceful mind, leaving his wife with his mature sons, or else taking her along with him. Having adopted the Vanaprastha order of life, one should arrange one's sustenance by eating uncontaminated bulbs, roots, and fruits that grow in the forest. One may dress oneself with tree bark, grass, leaves, or animal skins. The Vanaprastha should not groom the hair on his head, body, or face, should not manicure his nails, should not pass stool and urine at irregular times, and should not make a special endeavor for dental hygiene. He should be content to take bath in water 3 times daily and should sleep on the ground. Thus engaged as a Vanaprastha, one should execute penance during the hottest summer days by subjecting oneself to burning fires on 4 sides and the blazing sun overhead. During the rainy season, one should remain outside, subjecting oneself to torrents of rain. And in the freezing winter, one should remain submerged in water up to one's neck. One may eat foodstuffs prepared with fire, such as grains or fruits ripened by time. One may grind one's food with mortar and stone, or with one's own teeth. The Vanaprastha should personally collect whatever he requires for his bodily maintenance, carefully considering the time, place, and his own capacity. He should never collect provisions for the future. One who has accepted the Vanaprastha order of life should perform seasonal sacrifices by offering oblations of charu and sacrificial cakes prepared from rice and other grains found in the forest. The Vanaprastha, however, may never offer animal sacrifices to me, even those sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas. The Vanaprastha should perform the Agnihotra, Darsha, and Purnamasa sacrifices, as he did while in the Grahastha ashram. He should also perform the vows and sacrifices of Chaturmasya, since all of these rituals are enjoined for the Vanaprastha ashram by expert knowers of the Vedas. The saintly Vanaprastha, practicing severe penances and accepting only the bare necessities of life, becomes so emaciated that he appears to be mere skin and bones. Thus worshipping me through severe penances, he goes to the Mahaloka planet and then directly achieves me. One who, with long endeavor, executes this painful but exalted penance, which awards ultimate liberation, simply to achieve insignificant sense gratification, must be considered the greatest fool. If the Vanaprastha is overtaken by old age, and because of his trembling body, is no longer able to execute his prescribed duties, he should place the sacrificial fire within his heart by meditation. Then, fixing his mind in me, he should enter into the fire and give up his body. If the Vanaprastha, understanding that even promotion to Brahmaloka is a miserable situation, develops complete detachment from all possible results of fruitive activities, then he may take the sannyas order of life. having worshipped me according to scriptural injunctions, and having given all one's property to the sacrificial priest, one should place the fire sacrifice within oneself. Thus, with the mind completely detached, one should enter the sannyas order of life. The demigods think, this man taking sannyas is going to surpass us and go back home, back to Godhead. Thus thinking, the demigods create stumbling blocks in the path of the sannyasi by appearing before him in the shape of his former wife or other women and attractive objects. But the sannyasi should pay the demigods and their manifestations no heed. If the sannyasi desires to wear something besides a mere kopina, he may use another cloth around his waist and hips to cover the kopina. Otherwise, if there is no emergency, he should not accept anything besides his danda and water pot. A saintly person should step or place his foot on the ground only after verifying with his eyes that there are no living creatures, such as insects, who might be injured by his foot. He should drink water only after filtering it through a portion of his cloth, and he should speak only words that possess the purity of truth. Similarly, he should perform only those activities his mind has carefully ascertained to be pure. One who has not accepted the three internal disciplines of avoiding useless speech, avoiding useless activities, and controlling the life air can never be considered a sannyasi merely because of his carrying bamboo rods. Rejecting those houses that are polluted and untouchable, one should approach, without previous calculation, seven houses and be satisfied with that which is obtained there by begging. According to necessity, one may approach each of the four occupational orders of society. Taking the foodstuffs gathered through begging, one should leave the populated areas and go to a reservoir of water in a secluded place. There, having taken bath and washed one's hands thoroughly, remaining silent, one should distribute portions of the foodstuffs to others who may request it. Then, having thoroughly cleansed the remnants, one should eat everything on one's plate, leaving nothing for future consumption. Without any material attachment, with senses fully controlled, remaining enthusiastic and satisfied in realization of the Supreme Lord and his own self, the saintly person should travel about the earth alone. Having equal vision everywhere, he should be steady on the spiritual platform. Dwelling in a safe and solitary place, his mind purified by constant thought of me, the sage should concentrate on the soul alone, realizing it to be non-different from me. By steady knowledge, a sage should clearly ascertain the nature of the soul's bondage and liberation. Bondage occurs when the senses are deviated to sense gratification, and complete control of the senses constitutes liberation. Therefore, completely controlling the five senses and the mind by Krishna consciousness, a sage, having experienced spiritual bliss within the self, should live detached from insignificant material sense gratification. The sage should travel in sanctified places, by flowing rivers, and within the solitude of mountains and forests. He should enter the cities, towns, and pasturing grounds, and approach ordinary working men only to beg his bare sustenance. One in the Vanaprastha order of life should always practice taking charity from others, for one is thereby freed from illusion and quickly becomes perfect in spiritual life. Indeed, one who subsists on food grains obtained in such a humble manner purifies his existence. One should never see as ultimate reality those material things which obviously will perish. With consciousness free from material attachment, one should retire from all activities meant for material progress in this life and the next. One should logically consider the universe, which is situated within the Lord, and one's own material body, which is composed of mind, speech, and life air, to be ultimately products of the Lord's illusory energy. Thus situated in the self, one should give up one's faith in these things and should never again make them the object of one's meditation. A learned transcendentalist dedicated to the cultivation of knowledge and thus detached from external objects, or my devotee who is detached even from desire for liberation, both neglect those duties based on external rituals or paraphernalia. Thus, their conduct is beyond the range of rules and regulations. Although most wise, the Paramahansa should enjoy life like a child, oblivious to honor and dishonor. Although most expert, he should behave like a stunted, incompetent person. Although most learned, he should speak like an insane person. And although a scholar, learned in Vedic regulations, he should behave in an unrestricted manner. A devotee should never engage in fruitive rituals mentioned in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, nor should he become atheistic, acting or speaking in opposition to Vedic injunctions. Similarly, he should never speak like a mere logician or skeptic, or take any side whatsoever in useless arguments. A saintly person should never let others frighten or disturb him, and similarly should never frighten or disturb other people. He should tolerate the insults of others, and should never himself belittle anyone. He should never create hostility with anyone for the sake of the material body, for he would thus be no better than an animal. The One Supreme Lord is situated within all material bodies and within everyone's soul. Just as the moon is reflected in innumerable reservoirs of water, the Supreme Lord, although one, is present within everyone. Thus, every material body is ultimately composed of the energy of the One Supreme Lord. If at times one does not obtain proper food, one should not be depressed, and when one obtains sumptuous food, one should not rejoice. Being fixed in determination, one should understand both situations to be under the control of God. If required, one should endeavor to get sufficient foodstuffs, because it is always necessary and proper to maintain one's health. When the senses, mind, and life air are fit, one can contemplate spiritual truth, and by understanding the truth, one is liberated. A sage should accept the food, clothing, and bedding, be they of excellent or inferior quality, that come of their own accord. Just as I, the Supreme Lord, execute regulative duties by my own free will, similarly, one who has realized knowledge of me should maintain general cleanliness, purify his hands with water, take bath, and execute other regulative duties, not by force, but by his own free will. A realized soul no longer sees anything as separate from me, for his realized knowledge of me has destroyed such illusory perception. Since the material body and mind were previously accustomed to this kind of perception, it may sometimes appear to reoccur. But at the time of death, the self-realized soul achieves opulences equal to mine. One who is detached from sense gratification, knowing its result to be miserable, and who desires spiritual perfection but has not seriously analyzed the process for obtaining me, should approach a bona fide and learned spiritual master. Until a devotee has clearly realized spiritual knowledge, he should continue with great faith and respect, and without envy, to render personal service to the Guru who is none different from me. One who has not controlled the six forms of illusion, that is lust, anger, greed, excitement, false pride, and intoxication, whose intelligence, the leader of the senses, is extremely attached to material things, who is bereft of knowledge and detachment, who adopts the sannyas order of life to make a living, who denies the worshipable demigods, his own self, and the Supreme Lord within himself, thus ruining all religious principles, and who is still infected by material contamination, is deviated and lost both in this life and the next. The main religious duties of a sannyasi are equanimity and non-violence, whereas for the vanaprastha, austerity and philosophical understanding of the difference between the body and the soul are prominent. The main duties of a householder are to give shelter to all living entities and perform sacrifices, and the brahmachari is mainly engaged in serving the spiritual master. A householder may approach his wife for sex only at the time prescribed for begetting children. Otherwise, the householder should practice celibacy, austerity, cleanliness of mind and body, satisfaction in his natural position, and friendship toward all living entities. Worship of me is to be practiced by all human beings, regardless of social or occupational divisions. One who worships me by his prescribed duty, having no other object of worship, and who remains conscious of me as present in all living entities, achieves unflinching devotional service unto me. My dear Uddhava, I am the Supreme Lord of all worlds, and I create and destroy this universe, being its ultimate cause. I am thus the absolute truth, and one who worships me with unfailing devotional service comes to me. Thus one who has purified his existence by execution of his prescribed duties, who fully understands my supreme position, and who is endowed with scriptural and realized knowledge, very soon achieves me. Those who are followers of this Varnashram system accept religious principles according to authorized traditions of proper conduct. When such Varnashram duties are dedicated to me in loving service, they award the supreme perfection of life. My dear saintly Uddhava, I have now described to you, just as you inquired, the means by which my devotee, perfectly engaged in his prescribed duty, can come back to me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus ends the 18th chapter of the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Krishna's Description of Varnashram Dharma.